Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here we are, the last day of campaigning in the presidential race. A record 95 million Americans have already voted, but the candidates are searching out those who still haven't. Joe Biden travels to the key state of Pennsylvania, and he added a stop in Cleveland, Ohio, in what's being seen as a sign that he's going on the offense in a state that President Trump flipped 4 years ago.
President Trump is holding five rallies in four states that he won in 2016. After saying out loud last night what his critics think he's been planning, a court challenge of mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania before they're even counted.
We're going to go in the night of, as soon as that election's over, we're going in with our lawyers.
Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent, joins us now. So, Ron, let's review some of the things we heard over the weekend. The president and his advisors hammering that it's just not fair that they have to wait for election results, even though that's always happened in this country. Ballots are always counted. And this year there are more because of COVID. This isn't new. Then, as we heard mentioning lawyers at another point, you know, thanking the Supreme Court for ruling in his favor down the road. What are you making of the president's signal of these court challenges?
It is all intended to keep enthusiasm at a fever pitch among his supporters. The president surely knows that the Pennsylvania counting of ballots, even ballots that come in as late as Friday, has already been to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has declined to overturn the rulings from Pennsylvania. So they're going to count those ballots that come in after Tuesday in Pennsylvania and in Michigan and in Wisconsin. And maybe they're not going to count them in exactly the way that the Democrats would have preferred, and maybe it'll be a little more difficult in some places than in others. But these statements about Pennsylvania in particular are just to keep the focus on that state where he's trying very hard to turn out his vote. Joe Biden's trying very hard to turn out his vote. Pennsylvania does appear to be the keystone of this election.
Yeah. Well, do you also brush off reporting that we're hearing, for instance, yesterday from Jonathan Swan of Axios, that Trump would declare victory if he appears to be ahead in some states, even though we know leads seesaw all night? You know, do you brush it off? Because, as you said, it may just be ginning up the base. Or, you know, is that a dangerous signal to his supporters?
On one level, you do brush it off because there's absolutely no factuality to declaring yourself the winner on election night unless you're getting a concession from the other side based on projections. Projections. That's all we ever have on election night, all we have ever had. But projections are usually pretty good, and the races are usually not that close, and usually the Electoral College pretty much followed the popular vote. At least that was true in the 20th century. It hasn't been true in the 21st century, as we've seen now a couple of times. So it is really never possible to know for certain until some days after the election when all the vote has been counted and certified. But of course, we usually have a pretty strong indication. This year, the president is going to say, if I'm ahead, if he's ahead, and we don't know, but if he is ahead tomorrow night in the counting of votes that were cast just yesterday, then he may well say, well, looks like I won. That, of course, will ignore the existence of millions and millions of ballots that will not yet have been counted.
Yeah, and game that out. If there is a legal battle and Trump does declare himself winners, we're going to reach back to 1876. Could states send different slates of electors to vote in December?
Yeah, it was a different country in 1876, and you were still in post-Civil War Reconstruction, and several southern states sent two sets of delegates to the state capitol saying that they were the proper electors, and that threw the whole thing into chaos. But we are not in 1876 conditions in this country, at least not yet, and we can expect that there will be a legal determination as to which of the electors is the legitimate slate of electors before we get to Electoral College Day, which, by the way, is December 14th.
Yeah.
Mark your calendars.
Right, right. We only have a minute left. So back to everything we, you know, the tsunami of events this past weekend. What do you make of the polling? It puts Trump ahead in Iowa. Is there a great red wave, as he's been claiming, because of this barnstorming that he did? Or is he handing this election to Joe Biden by hinting that he'll fire Dr. Anthony Fauci, or that doctors earn more money if they overcount coronavirus cases, or praising those supporters in pickup trucks who boxed in a bus carrying Biden supporters? How do you take the last weekend?
some late deciders are going to be offended by some of those things that the president said, and some late deciders are going to be enthused. They're going to be driven to the polls by their excitement about those things. That's why the president says them. And it is clear at this point that I don't think anyone disputes the popular vote will be won by Joe Biden. The question is how it distributes across the states and who wins the Electoral College.
Gee, we've never seen that before. Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.